वासुदेवाय
So we are reading from sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 18th chapter, text 48 and 49. So 49 is on the board. I'll read 48. Napsnu snayana kupyeta nashambasheta durjanai. Is that? No. Navashita dhontavashaha srajamcha pidritam kvachit. Translation. Kasyapa Muni continued, "My dear, gentle wife, never enter the water while bathing. Never be angry, and do not even speak or associate with wicked people. Never wear clothes that have not been properly washed. And do not put on a garland that has already been worn." So today's verse. No chishtam chandikanam cha samisham vrishalaritam Jitodakshaya Jitodakshaya Grishnam Viven Nanjalina Tu Apaha No Chishtam Chandikanam Cha Samisham Vrishalaritam Bunjito Dakshaya Drishtam Piben Anjalina Tvapa Anjalina No Chishtam Chandikanam Cha Samisham Vrishalaritam Bunjito Dakshaya Jaya Drishtam Jaya Even Anjalina Tvapaha.
Thank you.
Ladies? Word meanings? Na, not, uchishtam, leftover food, chandika anam, anam, food offered to the goddess Kali, cha, and saamisham, mixed with flesh. Drishala aritam, brought by a shudra. Bunjita, must eat. Udakhyaya, by a woman in her menstrual period. Drisham, seen. Bivet, na, must not drink. Anjalina, by joining and cupping the two palms. Two, also. Apaha, water. I want to read the last verse and then I'll read this translation. Read the last verse again. Kasyapa Muni continued, "My dear gentle wife, never enter the water while bathing." Let's take the water. "Never be angry. And do not even speak or associate with wicked people. Never wear clothes that have not been properly washed. And do not put on a garland that has already been worn." Today's verse. Never eat leftover food. Never eat prasad offered to the goddess Kali. And do not eat anything contaminated by flesh or fish. Do not eat anything brought or touched by a shudra, nor anything seen by a woman in her menstrual period. Do not drink water by joining your palms. Purport. Generally, the goddess Kali is offered food containing meat and fish. And therefore, Kasyapa Muni strictly forbade his wife to take the remnants of such food. Actually, a Vaishnava is not allowed to take any food offered to the demigods. A Vaishnava is always fixed in accepting prasad offered to Lord Vishnu. Through all these instructions, Kasyapa Muni, in a negative way, instructed his wife Diti how to become a Vaishnavi. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So there's different things that I could speak about. There's two verses here. And the two things that struck me when I first read the verse was, one, he spoke to her about not becoming angry, which is, of course, a very important consideration for us. And the second one was just the environment. Don't eat food that's contaminated, because that will contaminate you. So you can talk about food, but it's anything that's contaminated. What you see, who you associate with, what you hear, what you taste. It all may be uplifting or contaminating. So those were the two things that struck me. And then my thought was that we only have about half an hour to speak. And half hour is not even enough to cover the topic of anger sufficiently, right? Because how can you talk about becoming free from anger? It's like, it's so much deeper than that. But I thought I'd give it a try. So if I fail and you walk away still angry, then just like Prabhupada said, you know, you try to shoot the rhino, and if you don't kill it, then everyone's going to say, well, you couldn't kill it. So we're going to try to shoot the rhino and say something that perhaps might help you deal with anger. First thing I'm going to say is going to sound weird and funny, but it's true. In order that we become more controlled, in this regard we're talking about anger, but it could be anything, I need you, and the goal of this class is that you become angry about becoming angry. Are you confused? You understand what I mean? At least angry with yourself about becoming angry, because unless you become upset about something you're doing, you're not going to stop doing it. So one of the ways that we change or we overcome bad behavior or develop qualities that are necessary, at least make the effort to develop them, is we have to understand that we need to change and we have to become somewhat upset about behavior that is not conducive to Krishna consciousness. If you're okay with being okay with something that's not okay, that's not okay. Okay? You understand? And I believe, and this is my personal experience and also my experience as a teacher, that one of the challenges that we have as devotees is being okay with things we shouldn't be okay with. And one example that comes to my mind is that for the past 10 years I've had the fortune of attending and teaching japa retreats and workshops, and one of the constant themes that comes up at the workshop is that within the workshop or the retreat, at a certain point, generally devotees become frustrated with the way they've been chanting for the past week, month, year, decade, 30, 40 years, their whole lives sometimes. So this theme comes up a lot. And a lot of people leave with this intention that I'm never going to chant that way again. I'm not going to allow myself to chant. It's a kind of frustration. As we sometimes say, that's it, I'm fed up. Right? You ever said that? That's it, I'm fed up. Yeah. So that's the goal of this class. If I can bring you to the point of being fed up with losing your temper, not controlling your emotions, then that will be good. I don't know if I can do it in a half hour, but we're going to try. So the way we're going to try it is I'm going to do it in the way that marketers do it. The way marketers do it, they make you feel really bad about something. Like, if you continue living the way you're living and you don't take this herb I'm going to give you, you're going to die of a heart attack, and I'm going to give you all the reasons why. Because you live this way, you think this way, you smoke cigarettes, you drink alcohol, etc., etc. And therefore, statistically speaking, by the time you hit the age of 62 to 72, there's 85% chance you're going to die of a heart attack. But I have the medicine that will prevent that. Are you interested? Yeah, so that's how they do it, right? So I'm going to try to do the same thing with anger. But just to give you a little taste of coming attractions, if you have a tendency for anger and it's pretty constant, then research shows that the likelihood of you having heart trouble is equal to those who smoke. So if that gets your interest, good. And that should scare you a little bit. So I want to frustrate you and scare you about the problems with anger. So that's my goal today. And we have 25 minutes to do that. So let's get going. So I want to read something from Mahabharata. Some of you may have heard this. And this is a monologue Well, it becomes a monologue. Draupadi was very frustrated with her husband because although he lost in the gambling match, she said, "Why did you accept the conditions and go into exile? Because what they did was adharmic, so you didn't have to accept it. And you are Dharmaraj, and you know Dharma. And Duryodhan is rascal number one," and that's basically what his name means, rascal number one. "And so why do you have to accept the conditions of a person who's lower than the lowest?" She was really angry, you know, she's Kshatriya, so she was angry, really angry. And this is what she said. "I cannot understand why you have not risen up to destroy the Kauravas. Surely, after all that has happened, such a response would be in accord with morality. Is your discrimination failing?" She's really getting on his case. Like, are you not thinking straight? "It is always appropriate for a Kshatriya to show anger when sin is committed. And sin has surely been committed by the Kauravas." Just like Prabhupada said, he spoke to Arjuna to get him angry, because if you're not angry, you're not going to fight. So Arjuna's all, "Shanti, shanti, we're not going to fight, you know, what's the use, you know, going to create problems." And Krishna's like, "Don't give me any of this shanti, shanti business, you know, you're a Kshatriya." So Prabhupada said, Krishna spoke to him to get him angry, get his blood boiling so he would fight. So here, she's saying the same thing, that for a Kshatriya to show anger when sin is committed, and sin surely has committed by the Kauravas, it's proper, it's actually improper not to. That's benevolent anger, it's not destructive, it's protective. "How can you sit here as if you forgive them? If a king cannot distinguish between the time to be angry and the time to forgive, then he is lost." So she's pretty heavy, right? So gentlemen, if your wife ever gets heavy with you, just think, even Draupadi was heavy with her husband. This happened. So she's really, really angry. Now she says, you know, he's Dharmaraj. She understands the essence of Dharma. She's saying, "I also know scripture. Scripture states that Duryodhana and his brothers deserve to be punished. Scripture states that the humble and ever-forgiving person is always neglected, while he who is powerful and assails others at the proper time is respected as a king." Yeah, the scriptures of the Dharma Shastras or the Dharma of a king may say that. And that's what she's quoting. But of course, he understands the situation, time, place, circumstance. So let's listen to his reply. And it's all about the devastating effects of anger. So, Yudhisthira looked with compassion upon his wife. She had suffered so much, and if anything stirred his heart, it was her suffering, for which he felt he had been the cause. Yes, his heart still burned when he thought of how she was dragged into the assembly hall. The pain of that moment would stay with him for the rest of his life. But this was not the time to make war. Draupadi could not understand the entire situation. He replied gently, "O intelligent lady, through anger we may sometimes gain wealth, but anger ultimately destroys mankind. Real prosperity crowns one who conquers anger and brings adversity to one whom anger controls. Anger is the root of all destruction. In the Bhagavad Gita, Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajagun Samudra Mahashano." Mahashano means all destructive. Have you ever thought of that? That when you get angry, it's destructive to you, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and it's destructive to the person you're speaking to. I'm talking about anger which is not used to uplift someone, but it's just a loss of control. How do you feel when someone's angry with you? You feel good? You feel kind of like they're stabbing, isn't it? Like they're stabbing you with their words. Actually, in the story in Bhagavatam of Sati, hearing the words of her father criticizing Lord Shiva, in the Bhagavatam it says she felt those words like knives in her heart. And Jiva Goswami says, it's one thing to be envious, but when you speak that envy, that's intolerable, because then those words pierce the heart. So, this is my realization of anger. Think of a fluorescent, no, we don't have, do we? Do we have fluorescent lights? Yes, there's a fluorescent light. So look at that light, and imagine one side of the light is dark brown, and gradually it goes to medium brown, light brown, tan, and eventually becomes light at the end. So it's a long fluorescent going from dark to light. And that dark side, that dark brown, mucky brown, is anger. And the light side, the end of it, is compassion. So if you think about it, at least this is the way I think about anger. I think the opposite of anger, the opposite emotion of anger, is compassion. Because when you're angry, you're just hurting someone. And sometimes the intention is to hurt them. And compassion is only about helping. Compassion is about what? Sympathy, empathy, understanding, right? Is anger about empathy, understanding? Generally not. It's about your frustration being poured out on somebody, and you want them to know how much they're frustrating you. But interestingly enough, the way emotions work is, if you look at this example, as the light is getting a little bit lighter, there starts to develop a little sympathy. Well, maybe I said the wrong thing. A little understanding. Maybe I didn't understand the situation. That's when you start calming down, isn't it? And as the emotion goes higher, eventually it comes to compassion and may come to forgiveness. There's actually an exercise called emotional excavation, and you're asked questions about something that frustrates you. And through this process of answering the questions, you actually go through the process of anger, and as it releases into understanding, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, and so forth, which is normally how you feel when the anger dissipates, right? Oops, I shouldn't have said that. So anger is very destructive. Mahashano, mahapama, it's greatly sinful. And I think one of the problems that we face is that it's so easy for us to become angry and not even notice it. Have you noticed that you don't notice? Think about it. The guy who cuts you off, right? And what do? You, whatever, I won't say what you say, but something not nice, right? You go to the restaurant and you order an uttapam and they bring you a dosa. Some people get irritated, some people get angry. Yes? The rickshaw wala tells you it's 10 rupees. When you get to the place, he says, you're overweight, I have to charge you 15 rupees. Or something, yes? Something like that. You know, they always charge you overweight, you know, when your bags are too heavy, right? They say, put your carry-on, you know, it's too heavy. I go, look, I only weigh like 60 kgs. That guy behind me, he weighs 80. Why don't you charge him extra? You know, it's very frustrating, you know. So, little things, right? All the time they disturb us. You're walking in the temple, you're trying to walk. What happens? As soon as you want to walk, it's crowded. Somebody pays obeisances in front of you. Not obeisances. Dandavats. If there's obeisances, you could walk around. Dandavats, you can't, right? There should be a law against paying dandavats in crowded temples. I think. It's frustrating, isn't it? Why do you have to pay dandavats? I could walk around if you just paid obeisances. Now you pay dandavats next to the other devotee paying dandavats next to the other devotee. Yes? You run into that problem? You can't do anything and you're late. So life is frustrating. So many times we become angry. And generally the anger is most common where? Children and their parents, husbands and wives. The parents get frustrated. Why did you do that? I told you 10,000 times not to do that. And what does a kid say? I don't care. I did it. Ah! So you're angry. Yeah? The kids, it's so common. And you say something, they say something, and we do it so often, and we don't think, Mahashano, Mahadpama. We just think, it's normal. It's not greatly sinful. It's not devastating, right? It's just normal emotion. Yeah, you do something stupid, you say something stupid, I get upset. What's your problem? Right? Have you had that experience? So then we go back to the, it's not okay to be okay. So the problem is, this happens, we don't notice it, or we're okay with it. We don't think it's a problem. What did he just say? Let's read again. Real prosperity crowns one who conquers anger and brings adversity to one whom anger controls. Anger is the root of all destruction. An angry man commits sin blindly. An angry man will kill even his preceptor and insult his elders. He cannot distinguish between right and wrong. There is nothing an angry man might not say or do, even to the point of sending himself to death's abode. Knowing this, I will not indulge in anger, Draupadi. Rather, I will strive to control it. When you're angry, there is much literature on anger management. I think in Krishna consciousness, we need to be more in the mood of anger prevention, because anger management means you're already angry. But best advice I can give you is, when you're angry, go to the closet, find some duct tape. You know what duct tape is? It's big, thick, really strong tape. It's about this thick, you can get it. Get some duct tape and put it over your mouth. Yes? You agree? Because when you're angry, you're going to say something which later you're going to regret having said. If you think about it, isn't anger like a drug? Because it forces you to do and say things that in a normal state you wouldn't say. And actually it is a drug. Because if you look at chemically what happens to an angry person, they excrete hormones. And hormones are drugs, and drugs make you act a certain way. Have you ever known anybody who smashed a wall with their bare fist because they were angry? That's a drug-induced behavior. Actually, if you get bored sometime, you can go to YouTube and Google anger, as I did, and Google anger in offices, and they have security cameras showing people becoming frustrated, like screaming at their computer screens and throwing them on the floor, taking their computers, throwing them on the floor, kicking photocopy machines, attacking other workers, jumping on them, beating them. Yes. It's like they're overtaken by a drug, isn't it? So look what Yudhisthira is saying. He's saying, basically, anger is the worst option. You never want to become angry, because when you become angry, you're going to say and do things that you should not say and do that are going to get you into trouble. It's going to be destructive for you, and or it's going to be destructive for someone else. But he's not finished yet. So should I read some more? You interested? Sound good? By now, Yudhisthira's brothers had gathered and were listening. Because, you know, it's like Yudhisthira's elevated person. He's saying something important. Everyone's listening. Yudhisthira went on describing the glories of forgiveness. Quote, okay, so we have to, why is he talking about forgiveness? In the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, how do you control anger? He said, by forgiving. Another place he said, if you give up envy, you'll give up anger. That's how you'll give it up. But envy, forgiveness, it's all in the same family. So we control anger by forgiving. What does Prabhupada mean? He said it's an attitude. There's a certain attitude that we have which will cause us to become angry. There's an attitude of disrespect. And then Prabhupada says, of course, anger means I'm not in control. I'm frustrated. Frustrated lust. But frustrated lust has many nuances. It basically means I'm not in control. And so somebody's going to do something in a way in which I wish they wouldn't have done. And I can't control that. And I get frustrated. So what do you do when you're frustrated? Then you need some understanding, because for forgiveness to manifest, there has to be some understanding, some sympathy, some compassion, right? So when you're in that mood of understanding, well, maybe he had a bad day, and that's why he yelled at me, it's a lot easier to control yourself. Yes? So it's also an attitude, a mood of proactive forgiveness, that forgiveness has components of understanding, it has components of compassion, it has components of putting myself in their shoes. Maybe he's feeling something because he had somebody told him something, and now he's just venting on me. So some understanding is required. So, if there were not persons in this world who exercised forgiveness, then chaos would soon prevail. If kings and other superiors give way to anger, then the distressed people would quickly meet with ruin. If inferiors do not tolerate their superiors' admonishments, then sin will take root and destroy mankind. This is pretty heavy. He's saying superiors have to show compassion, and inferiors have to show some understanding and respect. Respect both ways. I shall cite to you the verse spoken in ancient times by the Rishi Kasyapa. Forgiveness is virtue. Forgiveness is sacrifice. And forgiveness is the Vedas. Forgiveness is purity and penance. It is truth, piety, religion, and the holy Narayana. Through forgiveness, the universe is sustained, and by practicing forgiveness, a man can attain to everlasting regions of bliss. So now he's saying, so you want me to become angry, which means you want me to renounce forgiveness. So he's saying, how can I renounce forgiveness? Oh, Draupadi, how can I renounce forgiveness in which is established spirituality, truth, wisdom, and the three worlds? Both this world and the next belong to forgiving persons. Forgiveness is therefore considered the highest virtue. Forgiveness and humility, both of which are unknown to Duryodhana, are the qualities of the self-controlled. They constitute eternal virtue. I shall therefore adopt them. Now listen to this. This is really nice. It's the last part of his talk. King Yudhisthira said, if great emphasis were not placed upon forgiveness, then all injuries would be retaliated against, so that the continual fighting would ultimately cause the destruction of everyone. Should I read that again? If great emphasis were not placed upon forgiveness, then all injuries would be retaliated against, so that the continual fighting would ultimately cause the destruction of everyone. In other words, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. We would destroy one another. If somebody doesn't just say, I'm sorry, or forgive me, if someone doesn't subdue their anger, then anger would just prevail. Your anger would make me more angry, my anger would make you more angry, and we would eventually destroy one another. Road rage. You know about road rage? They have road rage in your country? Person gets out of a car, he's angry and just punches somebody. Yeah? Amazing, huh? It is only due to the good quality of forgiveness that there is any peace and prosperity at all upon the earth. Indeed, forgiveness can be said to be the very force that holds the universe together. Hare Krishna. Okay. So, I think what we should do next is understand more of the cause of anger. Now, Krishna says it comes from Rajagun. Prabhupada says in many places it comes from Tamagun, Rajagun, Kamaesha, Krodhaesha. From lust, it evolves into anger when the lust is frustrated. And lust is always frustrated, isn't it? Isn't that what Krishna says? You can't satisfy it. So where there's lust, and I want to help define lust in more details because it's not so clear. If you know something about psychology, what you learn is that anger is a secondary emotion. It's caused by something, and it's caused by frustrated lust in some form. Not maybe that's so obvious to us right now. So what I would like you to do is think about that one thing that makes you angry, or if you evolved beyond anger at this point in your life, that used to make you really angry. Not something that irritates you, like the devotee who just pays dandavats that you trip over as you're walking in the temple, or you're at the restaurant and something comes a few minutes late and you're a little upset, but something that makes you angry to the point where it's difficult to control. It's something you are always talking about. It's that person you're always talking about. Ah, I can't stand that. You know what's so funny? Prabhu, don't get angry. I'm not angry. Don't tell me not to get angry or I'll strangle you. No, so we try to, you know, we're devotees. So, you know, I don't get angry. Even though it just looks like I'm angry, I'm not really angry, Prabhu. So think about, I know sometimes you get angry. So think about something that makes you angry, that every time this happens, it makes you angry. Every time my wife says this, I blow up. Every time my temple president says this, I think about what it is. You don't have to tell anybody. It's just an exploration exercise. What is it? Even if it doesn't make you that angry for the sake of this exercise, just something. It could be a class. Somebody says something in a class, and every time they say that, you just go crazy. You don't beat anybody up. You don't hit any walls. You get angry. It upsets you. 40, 50 years after Prabhupada came, and they're still preaching this. You know, 45 years of marriage, and my wife still doesn't understand me. Whatever it is. Okay. Now that you have it, does anybody not have it? Okay, now that you have it, the next question is, what do you think the cause of it is? Why do you think that makes you angry? And it's not, no, because they bring the prasadam late and cold. No, no, you have to go deeper. What is causing that? Because the guy next to me got his prasadam late and it was cold, and he was just laughing and joking with his friends. So it's not the late cold prasadam. It's something else. You have to think, what is that? And I would like you to share. You already know, right? You want to share?
You want to control the situation, but you can't.
You want to control the situation, but you can't. Okay, let's get more specific. What were you expecting that didn't happen? Okay, I'm expecting more prasadam. I couldn't. So, if we go with the idea that anger is a secondary emotion, then the emotion was what? You were disappointed with the service? Or what? All right, so the emotion was frustration? Out of inability to control. Is that it? Frustrated because you can't control the situation? You still want to, now you're more frustrated. Yeah. Would you say it's frustration? Can someone help me here? Frustration that I can't control? Does that sound good? Okay. Or it could be out of pride that I wasn't treated respectfully. You don't respect me. You served other people warm prasadam on time, not me. So that was an expectation of being respected or honored. That wasn't that. Somebody else can tell me? Yes, yes. Oh, so it was an expectation of being understood. Is that it? They have to think like you think, which means they have to understand how you think? Or be sensitive to? All right, okay. So so what would be the emotion there? What would be the expectation? That was... All right, just the... Okay, we can just say the expectation. That you should have the same values that I have. Okay, that's it? You should... And if you don't have the same values that I have, all right. So that's the cause. We're not on the same frequency in terms of values. Okay. What else? Yeah.
Fear. Fear of the results.
For example?
Well, I have to train an
ox. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, okay. That's a good. That's an interesting one. He's training an ox, and if he wants to get the ox to go left, and he's pretty sure he's trained it, and then the ox goes right, then he feels that he's failing as an ox trainer, and there's ramifications of failing as an ox trainer. Which, what? He gets angry, and it's caused by feeling a failing. Yeah, just having to acknowledge that I failed, and that angers him. That's a good one. I mean, it's not good, but it's good for the discussion to bring that up. Can we get one more, just for some variety? Yes. Yeah, for example? Okay, when we think we're the enjoyer, and you can't enjoy things because they didn't go the way you wanted? This is really good. Okay, thank you for that. I'm going to find a quote. The Prabhupada said something. This was Prabhupada's... secret for subduing anger. All I have to do is find it. That's not so easy. But while I'm looking for it, I will tell you something very depressing that should make you even more angry to be angry. Bhishma Dev instructed Yudhishthira, and he said, there are 10 qualities of civilized human people, and one of the qualities was not to become angry. That was considered not like an elevated sadhu, but just to be considered civilized human being, to control your anger. Isn't that interesting? I'll read some things Prabhupada said. To get freedom from anger, one should learn how to forgive. If one is determined not to be envious of anyone, he can naturally conquer anger. So there is some element of envy. Because anger is often what? It's circumstantial, but there's always people creating circumstances, often, right? So anger is often generated towards people, commonly. And... That's a deep topic. I can't even talk about it now. There's not enough time. But if we're determined not to be envious, all right. So we go back to that example of the light bulb. One end is anger, one end is compassion. So where does freedom from envy come in? It comes in the continuum somewhere. But the interesting thing about this, which I think is so important for us, is that Prabhupada is saying, here, this is not how you deal with it after it happens. It's how you deal with it so it doesn't happen. It's a perspective, it's a way of interacting where you're no longer envious of others. So now Prabhupada is giving a clue that anger is precipitated by an envious nature. And if we are not envious, if we become, what's the opposite of envy? Who could tell me? What's the opposite of envy? Love? What? Affection? Compassion? Appreciation, affection? Yeah. So if that becomes a way of being, that's sattva-gun, that we live in sattva-gun, that's a way of being, then naturally when there's more affection, compassion, kindness and so forth, it's really difficult to become angry with someone, isn't it? Yes? Just like a little kid, 3 years old, he's running around creating mischief. Nobody becomes angry because he's too cute. So it brings out all your compassion, right? He's doing something that if an adult did, you would scream and yell and call the police, but he's so cute, he brings out your affection, so you just appreciate it, you like it. It doesn't make you angry. So Prabhupada's giving us a hint, if our attitude towards people is free of envy, and that would mean more compassion, then naturally it won't arouse anger. Does that make sense? I have to tell you a story, and I know it's late, like I said, and this is so hard to get done so quickly, but let me tell you a story, and then we can end, although I have another 2 hours of material. So if you want to stay, you can. But we're going to go tonight. I'll continue tonight. We have class in Vaishnava Academy at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7:30, and we're talking about beliefs, but I can tie this in because there's a very important point here that ties in. I had an experience, and I want to share this experience because I think it's very helpful. I had an experience where I was managing a temple, and the maturity level of the average devotee was not very high. It was in a third world, maybe even a fourth world country. And I'm an American. So, you know, as Americans, you know, you naturally know you're better than everybody else, right? You don't think. You just know. I mean, look at Americans, you know. Most prosperous country in the world. I mean, come on, you know. 200 years, we took over the world. Most powerful, wealthiest, you know. We're not stupid. We know how to do things, right? So, as being a bona fide American, I knew, you know, like, I'm better than all you guys. So, you know, just listen to what I say, do what I do. But their culture and their way of doing things was not the way I did things. So I gave the American way, and they would just look at me like, what are you talking about? It's not the way we do it. Then there was a language difference. There was a cultural difference. There was an education. Most of the devotees in the temple had not been to university. And none of the devotees really even had jobs yet. So it was extremely frustrating because I'd say one thing and they wouldn't understand it and they would do the opposite of what I said. You know, you ever get frustrated on your computer when you thought you hit this key and something else happened? Yeah. Well, managing the temple was just like that. It was like virus, and you know, I was really frustrated, and I was getting very upset all the time. You know, why did you do that? I told you to do that. What's wrong with you? Ah, that was like normal for me, right? And so, at one point, I was in my room and I made a decision, and I said, I can't deal with devotees like this anymore. This is disrespectful. It's harmful for me. It's harmful for them. And it's wrong. I'm not seeing them right. I'm not dealing with them with tolerance and compassion. And I made a shift in a matter of about 10 seconds. Because I can remember the shift. It was so dramatic, I remember it. I shifted just by making a decision that this was wrong. This is not right. This is not Krishna conscious. This is not what we're supposed to do. It built up to that point. And so I shifted my attitude, and by that shift of attitude, my dealings changed. I began to appreciate them for what they were, not for what they were not. And if you see people for what they are not, you're going to get frustrated, because she's from Argentina, she's not from America, right? So I try to see her like an American, and she only understands 70% of what I say. So I could get quite frustrated. And she's, even if she understands what I say, it has different meanings in American English, right? But if I see her with, oh yeah, she only understands 70%, she's another country, this, then I don't get upset, right? So it's a perceptual change. So one of the reasons we become angry is the way we see people, and the way we see people is the way we deal with them. And if you change your perception, which is Prabhupada saying, if you're determined not to become envious, you'll conquer anger. Does that make sense? If you're determined not to become envious of anyone, you will conquer your anger, because it's a different relationship. Parents so often become angry at their kids. They go, what should I do? I'm always angry. You have to change the perception. What's causing the anger? Change the perception. So in each of your examples, you're expecting something and you didn't get. You change your perception. You change your expectation. Then the causes of anger subside. So my last point is, it has to build up to this point where you say, again, it's not okay to be angry. It's not proper. It's not Vaishnava. It's mode of passion. It's the mode of ignorance. If you're in passion and ignorance, you're that much further away from Krishna. At least you want to be sattvic, and sattvic is where things are controlled, isn't it? Sattvagun is, that's where you get, that's how you get Krishna consciousness. If you're in tamagun, it's not far. It's too far. And Prabhupada says, tamagun, there is bhakti in tamagun. That's the angry devotee. I'm the best one. Nobody's as good as me. You all have problems. That's a devotee in tamagun. And then you might think, well, that's just where I'm at. Okay, that's where you might come, but you can't stay there. You know, that may be okay as a beginning stage of devotional service, but you can't stay there and expect to be Krishna conscious. That's a mistake if you think, well, it says right there, Prabhu, you can do devotional service in the mode of ignorance. It's okay. It's not okay. That's just how we may come. It's not okay to stay there. All right? I have to stop. I'm sorry I went too long, but I'm just getting warmed up. So if you want to come tonight, we'll talk more. And if anyone has any questions, you can stay for questions, and everyone else, you're free to leave. You're liberated now. And it's not okay to be okay with anger, and I hope I got you angry about being angry. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Right. Yes.